Now it's the time you've been waiting for. You're in the mix with film producer Jason Slack, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. The 40 Vision Films man himself, the owner of the Jason Slack brand. The place to be is here on the Vision Live Network. And now, let's get it in. Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast.
Welcome to the Slack is Talk podcast, a.k.a. the talk of the town now. I'm your host, film producer Jason Slack. And this is season number 4. And on today's show, we got an episode you do not want to miss. So without a doubt, let's get it in.
Welcome to the Sports Core Network, the new number one in sports.
Just to start off today's show, I know there's going to be some people out there that's listening that say, well, I said this last year. And to a certain extent, you know what I'm saying, I did. You know, I was very excited. You know, we got Aaron Rodgers last year. I told you a million times about how this was my first time having a quarterback. And, you know, all that good stuff. And it turned out that, you know, on the very first drive of the season, he got hurt. And we then learned that he tore his ACL. And he will miss the rest of the season. So I only got a chance to see Aaron Rodgers for 4 plays. The whole summer and the whole entire time I was talking about him. And, you know, we only got a chance to see him for 4 plays. That is true. That happened. You know, I was very down. I felt like, you know, we was cursed. I felt like it's just not meant to be for us to have a good quarterback. You know what I'm saying? I'm watching all these other teams, like Green Bay, who we made the trade with, by the way. They had Brett Favre for 20 years. Then when he left, Aaron Rodgers took over. They had him for 20 years. Jordan Love places Aaron Rodgers last year, and he not only makes it to the playoffs, but he just ran all over the Dallas Cowboys like it was nothing. You know, that's 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks, back-to-back years, that gave you well over 35 years of great quarterback play. And then a young guy who last year looked like he's well on his way to another 15. You know, I'm watching teams like that, and then I'm saying to myself, man, I can't get one for 1 year. So, you know, like a true fan, like a loyal soldier that I am, of course, man, I'm a Jet fan for life. Never seen a championship since I've been living. We haven't made the playoffs in 13 years. And I'm still a fan. That's loyal. That's the only way I know how to be. I'm not LeBron James. I don't go from team to team. I'm a loyal person, and that's what I teach, and that's what I stand on. Loyalty. Good or bad. If it's all bad, it's all bad. If it's all good, it's all good. But I was excited. You know, even with him being on the team and not playing, being on the sidelines, I was still excited. Even though I couldn't see him play. Then, you know, we struggled. We didn't make the playoffs. Then, you know, Robert Saleh, our coach, you know, who I'm a fan of. And Joe Douglas, I'm also a fan of. I feel like he's the best general manager that we ever had. And even when we first got him, I felt that way. His very first year, I felt that way. And I stayed with him. You know, I stayed with him. And today, I feel like he's the greatest general manager of all time. And we're going to get into that. And, you know, I know it's a bold statement, man. And, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, I'm just happy. But
he's definitely,
I can probably say, the greatest general manager that we ever had. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. And Robert Saleh, I like Saleh. You know, he's a defensive guy. As far as, like, watching football, I'm a defensive guy. You know what I'm saying? I like, when I play football, I like playing corner, safety. I like a great defensive line that could stop somebody at the 1 yard line. I like having a shutdown corner. First with Darrell Revis, and now, you know, we have Sauce Gardner. And overall, it just feels like all the pieces are coming together. Now, first, before I get into why I'm excited, let me address something, because I know somebody's going to say, well, I said the same thing last year. And, you know, we keep on saying the same thing. And, you know, it seems like we're winners in the off season. But then when we get on the field, it's a different story. You know, things of that nature. So, like, let me address something. First and foremost, you know, before we get into anything, I'm going to say that the season depends on Aaron Rodgers' health. And this is something that I should have said, you know, last year, last offseason. You know what I'm saying? I should have definitely, like, made this clear last offseason. It all depends on Aaron Rodgers. If he plays, we're contenders. You know, we go to another level, hands down. We have that middle of the pack offense to go along with an elite defense. Even saying that, we have some insurance now just in case that he goes down. Something that we, again, should have had last year. We now have Tyrod Taylor, which happens to be, I could say, my favorite backup quarterback for years. And he has never played with the Jets, but, like, I admire Tyrod Taylor. You know, I definitely, you know, he's old now. So, you know, he's past the idea of being a starter in this league. But I always, you know, when he was younger, I always viewed him as a starter. Like, for some unknown reason, like, he would always show out and do the job wherever he went. But it was just, you know, he went to a team that had other plans, man. They felt like they had another franchise guy waiting in the wings, or they had their sights set on somebody in the draft. And he was just always passed over. But he would always put up numbers and show out wherever he went, man. Wherever he went. And, you know, that's the first thing about Joe Douglas. He realized Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old and we needed a backup. He realized that. That's the first thing. And in no particular order, but that's the first thing that I like about him. That's the first thing that makes this feel different. This franchise, talking about the Jets, is so bad that I've been sitting here for years talking about how we don't have, you know, a franchise quarterback or good quarterback play. We're so bad that we have never had, well, of course, if you don't have a good starting quarterback, you're not going to have a good backup either. Because if the backup was any good, he'll be the starter. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if that make any sense. So we haven't even, it's not that we haven't even had a backup quarterback. For some reason, we've been a franchise that just believed that our backup quarterback should be somebody off of the street. You know, either the backup quarterback has to be off the street, somebody that's out the league, or is it somebody that's way past their prime? Somebody who had their best year quarterback 8 years ago. Like Flacco, or even though I like Flacco. You know, I felt like they should have bought him, they should have kept him. You know, I think we'd have kept him, we would have been better off. But your backup quarterback shouldn't be somebody who already passed their best years or somebody out the league or a journeyman. You can actually, like, draft the quarterback, man, in the second or third round and have him sit. You know what I'm saying? Like, your backup quarterback could be somebody, if he ever comes in the game, you feel good about. Like, this could be something. This could be the start of something. I hate to say it, but New England witnessed that with Tom Brady. There were so many people that started out off the bench. You know, Steve Young was a backup. Hall of Famer. It's possible to have somebody good as a backup. That's something that, you know, we never had. That's what makes this year coming up feel different. In the past, we would have a season and the fan base, ESPN, or any sports commentators would come away being able to identify with what went wrong with the Jets. Whether it was quarterback play, whether they need a second wide receiver opposite Garrett Wilson, whether it was the blocking up front. Everybody could be able to identify what we need and what was the problem. Everybody in the past, everybody except for the general manager, it seemed like. You know, even with the problems, the general manager would go and, you know, do something else. We would try to overstack another position in hopes that that position is so great that this weakness over here would be ignored. Even though, you know, like little simple silly stuff. This year feels different because our general manager identified the problems. He knew what the problems was. And he actually went out and he addressed them. Not just one of them, but almost all of them. And to put the icing on the cake, he did it before the NFL draft is here. He did it before the NFL draft has arrived. Do you know how many general managers that we have ever had where we're going into the draft with three major holes to fill? Free agency is over. People done got cut. Training camp will be here before you know it. Rookie OTAs and all that good stuff. And we still have like three or four holes to fill. Joe Douglas actually addressed all these holes before free agency. Before the draft, excuse me. Which in turn give us the flexibility of being able to, we don't have to pick a certain player now. We don't have to target a certain position. We don't go into round one with everybody knowing, oh, they got to take an offensive lineman, or they got to take a receiver. We go into the draft being able to pick any player that we feel is good from any position. That's called flexibility. He has provided that. And the biggest thing in the world that makes this upcoming year feel different, for the first time, I'm 43 years old. For the first time in my life, I've seen all the Jets all season, man. I've seen the Jets sign this player. I've seen them target this player. I've seen Kirk Cousins use us for leverage to get more money out of Minnesota. Pretend like he's going to play here or want to play here so he could get more money out of Minnesota. Anthony Barr sign here and then change his mind later on and go back to another team. So I've seen the disrespect. Odell Beckham last year, driving up his price. You know, I've seen the disrespect. Like people coming out publicly and saying they don't want to play for the Jets and all that. For the first time in my life as a Jet fan have I seen players that signed with the Jets that actually like take a pay cut, like just to be here, like lower their salary cap so they can sign other players, so we can go and get what we need to make this championship run. Players come in, free agents sign contracts with based off of incentives just to play with Aaron Rodgers because they feel like we have something special here. Not a contract that's friendly toward them, the player, but a contract that's friendly toward the team because they understand the vision, the mission. They see something special going on here. Never have I seen, like, people actually want to play with the Jets until Tyron Smith, until Mike Williams. Tyron Smith from Dallas, the offensive tackle, who's a first ballot Hall of Fame player. One of the best offensive linemen, one of the best left tackles in the league every year. Taking an incentive-laden deal to sign with the Jets because he sees the vision. Mike Williams coming out and saying that he want to play with Aaron Rodgers and he want to play next to Garrett Wilson. It reminds him of playing next to Keenan Allen. For those of y'all that want to ask me, like, why do I feel this year is any different? Or we say the same thing each year. This is what makes it different. We have never seen nothing like that before. Somebody signed with it for incentives to play with the Jets because of our quarterback. We have never seen that before. We have never felt that before. A disappointing season last year, but we won 7 games. We went 7-10. Basically, without Aaron Rodgers and with the worst quarterback play in the league. If you give me Aaron Rodgers, if you add Aaron Rodgers to an already 7-win team, I gotta believe we can get 4 or 5 more wins. I got to. I have to believe. I have to believe we can. We have a backup quarterback now. Talent has got better. The offensive line has got much better. And the thing about it, you know, trading for Morgan Moses, signing John Simpson, signing Tyron Smith, signing Mike Williams, all these signings, you know, you would think, even in the past, you know, we have loaded up in free agency before. We have loaded up, and then, you know, we're stuck with some big contracts. You know, the next year, we can't do anything now because, you know, we splurged this year. You know, we went out and did all we did last, you know, this year, so we stuck next year. The beauty of it, the beauty of having a general manager that knows what he's doing. You can splurge and bring people in, and you know what? But you know what? The gravy on top is we're not stuck with any contracts. Morgan Moses, 1 year. Tyron Smith, 1 year. Mike Williams, 1 year. Even Lazard, Alan Lazard, who bombed out. You know, we're just stuck with him for 1 more year, and then we can get out from under that contract. We're not stuck, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line with somebody, you know, who did absolutely nothing. These are all contracts we can get out of. The only downside is, you know, he's moving a lot of dead money around. And once you start doing that, it could be tricky. You know, that's one thing. And the only thing that stops us from spending or having anything from here on out is actually a good thing. Because there are 4 draft picks in the 2022 draft that he hit on. And those guys are eventually those guys are going to have to be paid. That's Sauce Gardner. That's Garrett Wilson. That's Breece Hall. And defensive end Jermaine Johnson. It's a great thing. That's another thing that I have never seen. I've never seen us come away with four great players in one draft. For years, it seemed like we would get an okay player in the first round, and that's it. We don't know nobody else. We came away with four starters in one draft. That was a first. But I have to believe that adding Aaron Rodgers to a 7-win team will get you four or five more wins, man. I got to believe it. And I may have mentioned this before, but just in case I didn't, here it is again. For the people that like to bring up the fact that Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old, two things. They like to bring up the fact that he's 40 years old, and then they like to bring up his stats from his last season in Green Bay. So let's start with the 40-year-old thing, you know, first. Let's start off with 40 years old first. The thing that a lot of people forget is that, yeah, he's 40 years old, no doubt. But he sat behind Brett Favre for 4 years. He hasn't been playing in the NFL since he got drafted. He sat on the bench for 4 years behind Brett Favre. So, that's not, that his 40 years old is not the same as somebody who necessarily came in the league and started playing from day one, if you feel what I'm saying. There's definitely 2 or 3 years of good football still left in him. That's the known, and I've never heard that being brought up before. Strange. Nobody has ever pointed that out. He sat for 4 years. He hasn't been playing the whole time. He sat for 4 years. 4 years is a long time. A long time. A long time. That's the first thing. Second, his stats from his last season in Green Bay, I believe he's still due for 3,000 yards. And he had 20-something touchdowns. He had at least 10 more touchdowns than he did picks. Those stats, more than his, those stats are more than five times of what we had the last 2 years. Not two times, not three times or four. I'm talking about five times. We haven't had anybody sniff 2,000 yards. This is how low we go. So when you talk about numbers, it depends on what team you're talking about. Now, if he puts up those kind of numbers in Kansas City, yeah, Kansas City fans can laugh. Of course. Baltimore fans could probably laugh. You know, they got Lamar. To Jet fans, bring it. That's the best we ever. 3,000 yards? What? A quarterback could do that? That's the best that we ever had by far. Us, all we need is middle of the pack quarterback play. That's all we need. All we need. We still have money to spend. We still got the draft coming up. This feels different. This feels different, man. This feels different. If Aaron Rodgers has to miss a game or two, we have a quarterback that can win some games. We still have meaningful football to play. If Aaron Rodgers goes out, we don't feel like the season is over. We have a quarterback a backup in Tyrod Taylor that can win some games. This year just feels different. You know, we get in players that, you know, we need to get. We get in players that provide a role and fill holes. We're getting people that want to be here. There's people that's taking pay cuts for us to go out and find more talent. there's people taking incentive-laden deals to play with our quarterback. That's unheard of. This year just feels different. And for anybody that ever doubted Joe Douglas, I don't care what the record is. You know, there's parts to this. You got to have a coach. You know, he has nothing to do with injuries. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has a role. Everybody plays a part. You know, it's a machine. And you think of a machine, all parts of the machine have to work for that machine to go. But you can't put this on Joe Douglas, man. You got to put some respect on his name. This feels different. This feels like something that we never had. It feels like we're on to something big. And I'm glad to be a part of it, man. I can't wait for the draft. And I can't wait for the season. If we won 7 games last year, and we are adding all these people, including Aaron Rodgers, I think the AFC East need to look out. That's my take, and I'm sticking to it. Thank y'all for listening to this special edition of the Slackers Talk podcast / Sports Core Network crossover show. It's been a pleasure. Can't wait to do it again. Y'all be safe.